Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of November 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how nanotech has become a commercial reality with $50 billion in sales and how 3D crystals will revolutionize telecommunications. In this week's interview, Azo Nano's David Fruend talks with Frank Sicking from the VDI Technology Centre in Germany, which promotes nanotechnology development and technology transfer. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. BASF research scientists are helping to revolutionize the future world of telecommunications with the aid of three-dimensional photonic crystals. In a three-year project, BASF is researching into the development of these crystals. By the end of 2008, the partners in the Newton project expect to have developed the first functional components of this new technology. The long-term goal is to use three-dimensional photonic crystals as construction elements in telecommunication. Half the project is being funded by the European Union. Many times more information can be transmitted by light in the same time as so far been possible with electricity. This is why telephone conversations, websites, photographs or music, for example, are now increasingly being transmitted in optical fibres. At present, however, this technology still has one drawback at the network nodes. Indeed, at these nodes, the routing of the information to the end user is still done electrically, because no competitive, compact, all-optical routing processor is yet available. This costs time and energy. This is where the research activities of BASF and its partners come into the picture. They're developing a photonic crystal capable of reflecting only single colours of white light depending on the observation angle. This phenomenon is known from nature. The splendid shimmering colours on butterfly wings derive from the properties of photonic crystals. Breathing new life into an old idea, MIT Institute Professor Mildred S. Dresselhaus and co-workers are developing innovative materials for controlling temperatures that could lead to substantial energy savings by allowing more efficient car engines, photovoltaic cells, and electronic devices. Novel thermoelectric materials have already resulted in a new consumer product, a simple, efficient way of cooling car seats in hot climates. The devices, similar to the more familiar car seat heaters, provide comfort directly to the individual rather than cooling the entire car, saving on air conditioning and energy costs. The research is based on the principle of thermoelectric cooling and heating, which was first discovered in the early 19th century and was advanced into some practical applications in the 1960s by MIT professors. The van der Waals force, a weak attractive force, is solely responsible for binding certain organic molecules to metallic surfaces. In a model for organic devices, it's this force alone that binds an organic film to a metallic substrate. Although they fulfill complex functions when used, for example as computer chips, inorganic semiconductors have a simple construction that greatly limits their application. The same does not apply to semiconductors made of organic materials. Because organic molecules are extremely flexible, they can be used in a whole new range of applications. However, before this advantage can be exploited to the full, scientists need to have a better understanding of the far greater complexity of these materials over their inorganic counterparts. A team from the Interface Controlled and Functionalized Organic Thin Films National Research Network at the University of Leoben has made an important contribution to scientific understanding in precisely this field. Using complex calculations, the team has been able to show that a thin film of organic theophane is held onto a copper surface solely by the van der Waals force. The new data adds to our fundamental understanding of the interactions that take place at interfaces. Yeah. For two decades, the term nanotechnology has been primarily associated with an R&D race spanning the public and private sectors. But nanotech is now shifting from discovery to commercialization, with $50 billion in nano-enabled products sold worldwide last year, from pharmaceuticals to power tools, creating sustained competitive advantage for companies as diverse as Abbott Labs and Black & Decker. The Nanotech Report, 5th edition, draws on the ongoing market intelligence gathered by the Lux Research Analyst Team, the world's leading business advisors on science-driven innovation. Rigorous quantitative models, exhaustive secondary research, and more than 1,000 primary interviews with business and technology executives went into the production of the Nanotech Report 5th edition. Commercially available fast-response bio-aerosol detectors that can help guard against bioterrorist strikes in large public spaces face a significant hurdle: false alarms. Facility managers responsible for airports, train stations, sports arenas and other venues will be loath to install biodetection systems until they can be close to certain that the hardware won't alarm without cause and force unnecessary evacuations. But a Department of Homeland Security funded project involving a group of Sandia National Laboratories researchers promises to answer the question of why false alarms occur and how to bring down the rate. The project, currently called Enhanced Bioaerosol Detection Systems, or EBADS, aims to do just that, enhance the performance of bioaerosol detectors, specifically those based on laser-induced fluorescence. EBADS literally take a second look at what's in the air when an LIF sensor alarms and determines if there's sufficient bioaerosol present for concern. If successful, EBADS could be paired with existing sensors for a more refined and commercially deployable detector system. Amid growing public concern that the National Nanotechnology Initiative is not effectively addressing the potential risks of nanotechnology, Environmental Defence pointed to a precedent and potential model to resolve the conflict between NNI's dual charges to both promote and oversee the technology. The model is drawn from the United States' past experience in managing another controversial and potentially risky technology, nuclear power. Environmental Defense discussed the model in a supplement to its October 31 testimony before the U.S. House of Representatives Science and Technology Committee. Like the NNI, the Atomic Energy Commission, first established in 1946, was tasked with both encouraging the development and use of nuclear power and regulating its safety. Concerns about this dual charge led Congress to abolish the AEC in 1975 and to assign its risk research and oversight functions to a new entity, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Research and development efforts have continued under the U.S. Department of Energy. Carbon nanotubes have long been touted as the wonder material of the future, but their wonder properties can also be their downfall. The non-reactive nature of carbon nanotubes means that they can be difficult to incorporate into other materials for real-world applications. To this end, researchers have now extensively studied the wettability of carbon nanotubes in the form of power, grown on a silicon substrate and as carbon nanotube sheets or mats or bucky paper. The researchers found that plasma polymerization of a carbofluorine monomer onto a bucky paper led to superhydrophobic surfaces. They also found that under gentle oxidation parameters, the vertical alignment of multi-wall nanotubes remains unchanged, whereas more harsh conditions destroy the carbon nanotube shape without opening the end caps. There's nothing new about combining two materials to make a composite material with a more desirable property than the original. Fiberglass has been a mainstay of the marine industry for decades, and the construction industry is built on reinforced concrete. Now, carbon nanotubes are getting in on the act, with nanotechnologists working out how to grow nanotube reinforcements for polymers in an ideal manner. Researchers from Trinity College have developed a scalable, inexpensive technique to grow grid patterns of nanotube arrays to maximize the effect of CNT reinforcement on a polymer-thin film while minimizing nanotube content. A controllable way of varying the volume fractions of CNTs within the composite is needed. The research work by Werner J. Blau, Dr. Amer Lahif, Andrew I. Minnett, and Dr. Kentaro Nakajima is expected to lead to incorporation of carbon nanotubes in polymer matrices within flat panel displays, sensors, flexible electronic devices, and actuators. This week's interview is with Frank Sicking from the VDI Technology Centre in Germany. The VDI Technology Centre is a German government initiative that promotes nanotechnology development and technology transfer to facilitate the commercialisation of emerging nanotechnology developments. Frank discusses the workings of the VDI Technology Centre, emerging nanotechnology applications, and areas where he sees nanotechnology having the greatest promise for the future.
This is David Fruin for Azo Nano. I'm here with Dr. Frank Sicking from the VDI Technology Centre, and welcome to Australia, Frank.
Thanks, welcome.
Can you give us a brief outline on what the VDI Technology Centre does?
Yes, we try to promote nanotechnology here. That means we try to show all the activities that's going on in Germany related to nanotechnology. We are working on behalf of the German government. And that means we have no specific topics for a specific kind of nanotechnology. We have a broad overview of all of nanotechnology. That means also firms and universities and institutes.
Being a government institution, do you have any restrictions, or you're basically just about commercialization of nanotechnology?
We make both. We are involved in the funding system in Germany. And also we make something that calls technology transfer. That means if the funding ends and there's a new product or something like a new product, and we have a small firm, we try to help them to find the market. And that's so two of the legs we have.
And you don't focus on any particular markets or end applications or technologies. It's just a broad overview across all nanotechnology
sectors?
Exactly,
yes. It's really the broad overview. So
okay.
We don't care about only materials or chemistry. It's also biology and healthcare, and everything you can use on nanotechnology is an interest.
From a personal perspective, are there any particular aspects of nanotechnology that you find particularly exciting?
Of course. I mean, nanotechnology is really big thing. It's inside everything, and it's touched all the things we know, and it's a big thing for the future. You can't do a lot of things without nanotechnology in 10 years. You have the healthcare with nanotechnology, you have cars full with nanotechnology, electronic full with nanotechnology. Without nanotechnology, it's hard to say. No. So it's everything interesting, and to find one big spot what nanotechnology is important, it's very difficult. It's really all. If you suffer for cancer, you will be glad if you have nanotechnology to fight against this. If you drive a car and you have to brake very fast, you like to have nanotechnology in your tires. Or in the engine, if you have like to have big powers, and if you clean the windows, you like to have nanotechnology because you haven't cleaned it so much. So everything touched with nanotechnology.
Is there a particular aspect of nanotechnology you feel that will have the greatest benefit for mankind?
I think, of course, the health system. Most things that touch us is our own health, and if you have some thing that can help you to stay longer, proper, healthy, we all will be glad about it. So this is one major thing, and also I think nanotechnology can solve some of the problems of the environment, the pollutions, and this may be the two main aspects that the broad society expects, that really every man will touch them. Yes.
There's been some reports in the media recently that talking about nanotechnology, and that there are dangers in nanotechnology. Do you think the general public has anything to worry about as far as nanotechnology is concerned?
I think yes and no, because nanotechnology is a new technology, and that means the people has to know what nanotechnology is. And if they didn't know what nano means, there could be a fear. And also, new technology always have a potential to be danger. It's a question how we handle it. Mostly nanotechnology not really touch you. It's inside the PC, and you never worry about it because you can touch the nanotechnology inside the ICs also. But if you produce nanotechnology, so this during the industry process, you should take care about the workers. You should know something, what's happened if they're going something wrong. And that means you have to be careful about nanotechnology, but overall, it's from my point of view, at the moment, you don't have to fear about nanotechnology.
Sure. And for those people that are unable to attend COMS 2007, do you have any particular message for them about what VDI Technology Centre does?
If you're interested in nanotechnology in Germany overall, or also in Europe, the VDI Technology Center is the basic of knowledge for all of that. Come to us and ask us, visit our web pages. We have a lot of web pages. For example, it's in Germany, nano.de. It's in German, but we also have a European web page, nanoforum.org, that shows closely a deeper look into nanotechnology from the point of the Europeans.
Sure. Well, thanks for your time, Frank.
Welcome.
Azo Nano Business News. ANI has announced that as a result of the successful completion of its initial project, it will receive $1.6 million for further developments of its PhotoScrub concept, a thin film coating on a flexible fiberglass cloth that decomposes pollutants at the molecular level in gases and liquids. This funding was included in the 2008 Defense Appropriations Bill, recently signed by the President of the United States. Nanogen Incorporated, developer of advanced diagnostic products, announced today that it's been granted US patent number RE39816, which is a reissue of another patent titled Conjunctive Analysis of Biological Marker Expression for Predicting Cardiac Mortality. This patent relates to the combined use of a cardiac marker of cell injury, such as troponin-1, with a marker of organ adaptation, such as brain natriuretic peptide, for prognosis of chronic congestive heart failure patients. The new claims strengthen the company's intellectual property rights around the combined use of these two types of important biomarkers. Thales Nano Incorporated and the Christian Doppler Laboratory for Microwave Chemistry, located in Karl Franz's University in Graz, today announced a scientific collaboration on flow microwave chemistry research. The project will focus on the application of flow reactors for organic synthesis and the development of novel technologies utilizing Thales Nano's background in continuous processing. Thales Nano and the Christian Doppler Research Association will jointly provide financial support for the collaboration. The University of Massachusetts Amherst is host to a new nanomedicine institute focused on developing super tiny structures for biomedical research. The institute was launched with a $200,000 startup fund from UMass President Jack M. Wilson's Science and Technology Initiatives Fund and the President's Creative Economy Fund. Researchers involved with the institute are developing novel nanostructures for use in medical diagnostics and therapeutics, including tools for removing blood pathogens and helping the immune system fight malaria. Nanodynamics Incorporated announced that Chairman and CEO Keith Blakely received the 2007 Best of Small Tech Business Leader Award from Small Times magazine. SUS Microtech has received significant multiple orders for its lithography production equipment from the ASE Group, the world's largest provider of independent semiconductor manufacturing services in assembly and test. The first order packages were booked in October and November and included several production mask aligners and coat bake develop clusters for 200 and 300 millimeters that will be installed at ASE's wafer level packaging and redistribution process facility in Taiwan. Philadelphia's Central High became the first high school in the United States to open deep inner space exploration to students with the arrival of a new Phenom tabletop scanning electron microscope. Providing magnification up to 20,000 times with 30 nanometer resolution, the instrument is designed to change how science is taught and attract students to scientific careers. The Phenom is a gift from the FEI Company, a leading manufacturer of advanced imaging tools, to the Minority Student Training Program for Microscopy at Central High. It will also be used by other science programs at the school. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 19th of November 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.